Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What's good, internet? It is April 14th, 2017, and we are coming to you live from Lobby 1 in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Welcome to Waypoint Radio.
Yeah.
It is a beautiful day for the fifth day in a row. I know some of us have been dealing with allergies.
Don't speak for all of us, Austin.
It's been beautiful here, matters, where I live. How you doing, Patrick?
Patrick is so disgusted with you right
Patrick
now.
Patrick Klepek. Is there snow?
Not great. It's not great outside.
Oh. What's the weather like there?
It's 58. It's all right.
Oh, it's fine.
It's
beautiful
cloudy.
Day.
It's a beautiful day.
You got to do what I do, which is when it gets to like 56, just start wearing shorts.
Yeah.
And just pretend, like, will the weather into becoming better. Like, no, motherfucker, it's spring now.
That's right. It's the Spring Bears. We have a special guest today.
We do.
Oh, my God.
Polygon's own.
Hello.
Stream Austin. Friends reunion.
Austin, that's kind of is. Austin, I don't want to, like, interrupt. I know that, like, you like starting with what's good, what's mm-hmm. good, internet. But I have something to tell you about that's bad.
Uh-oh.
I want to tell you about what's bad.
Oh, no.
This is the opposite of what's
breaking
good.
News. This is just hit.
Do.
This is from The Verge.
Oh, I see.
A Vox Media
okay.
brand.
Okay, Vox Media.
I don't know if you guys are familiar. Uh-huh. Very good media corporation.
Internet brand. Mm. Okay.
Headline.
How many Webbies have they won?
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably some. I don't. I actually don't know.
You
tell me.
Media
you
companies
have a count,
love Webbies.
You know?
Headline, Navy tells sailors to stop vaping at sea.
Thanks.
They're putting an end to it.
No more vaping.
Those poor sailors. What
it's
will they do?
Up.
Has Reddit heard yet?
The Naval Safety Center reports that at least 15 mishaps occurred between October 2015 and June 2016, which resulted in sailors' first and second degree burns.
Whoa!
Oh, no, that's actually bad.
And facial disfiguration from e-cigarette battery explosions. So there you go.
That's actually really bad.
Do you think it had to do with, like, was this, like, submarine vaping? Like, they're underground or underwater and, like, the high pressure, like...
And it caused it to blow. I don't know.
That makes sense.
That wouldn't be safe.
Yeah.
That would be unsafe.
That would not be a safe situation to vape in. I don't think you want
to
vape in a submarine, like...
Don't tell me where
shouldn't.
I want to vape. Patrick, where's your favorite place to vape?
I've never vaped. In the Blair Witch Project basement, I'd like stare against the corner and I would just vape.
That's
for
a good
sweet
vape.
Embrace
that's so
of
dark.
The Blair Witch to that's take me
that's
there.
That's real dark.
The Vape
that's
Witch
really bad.
Project. Yeah.
That's really bad.
Vape Blair.
I'm going to say that I think based on the amount of echo people are saying that there is, I don't think it's just that there's echo coming in from our lav mics.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes you echo, sometimes you vape. I don't know. Echo is the new thing, right? Like,
it's not.
Echo
you can't
the
just
dolphin.
Put two words together
yeah,
to make
Echo
a joke.
Echo the dolphin vaped. All of those early 90s Sega platformers, they all vaped. You're going to tell me right now that
okay,
Sonic
vaped.
Was not vaping?
Okay.
Sonic
okay.
vaped.
Wait,
dude.
I've spun around on this whole bit. And now I have this image of Sonic vaping.
Sonic vaped.
There's
no
got to be.
Question.
There's fan art for that.
There's no question.
I guarantee there's fan art for that.
There's probably a vape shop. That has Sonic vaping as like their
Did
main logo.
Sonic vape? Question mark.
There's got to be stuff for this.
Sonic portable vaporizer
See?
From Sonic Vaporizer. He has his own brand of.
Yeah, okay. I told you.
Yes.
Sonic Hedgehog.
I was making shit up, but.
Vape?
Yeah.
Question mark. If I put a question mark on, that's how Google knows it's a question. I got.
Yeah.
Well,
there he is.
I went shopping, which is not what I meant to. Oh, here
oh,
we go.
There he is.
This is.
Oh. Can we show the stream?
That's not. That's not how. I can't just do this. Where it's like, hey, look, there's Sonic.
There he is.
Sonic is a vape.
Sonic vapes.
Sonic is a vape.
So he doesn't just vape, he is a vape.
Oh, this is a good one.
The embodiment of vape.
This is just a picture of Sonic blowing steam out of his mouth. And
That's
next
right.
to it, it says vaped up.
Yeah.
That boy vaped up.
I told you.
He's blowing out the cotton.
Yeah, he's got that.
That's what they call that.
Those clouds.
Yeah.
What are the different types of clouds?
Columbus.
Columbus. Uh-huh. Circuitous, right? That's one.
Dark. Clouds. Dark cloud.
Patrick, can you talk a little to see if you're still echoing?
Oh, you want me to fill the uncomfortable silence?
Yes.
For the last couple of seconds.
Anything. Please say anything.
I don't know. I feel like we should just stew in this for a little while.
Yeah.
I feel like I just...
No echo.
No echo anymore.
No more echoing.
We killed the echo.
Oh, so the uncomfortableness was caused by the echo,
not by anything else.
Mm.
Yeah. Yep.
Y'all see that Star Wars trailer?
Yeah, that was cool.
Speaking of racism. No, there wasn't any in that trailer. That was good. That looked good.
I think
The Last Jedi.
I think it looks good.
Yeah. It makes me want to go play KOTOR 2 again because they look like they're kind of leaning into some of the grayness that attracted me to that game originally.
Yeah. Yeah. Who
knows?
The trailer doesn't tell you much, right?
It tells you no more. Last Jedi. Last one.
Maybe.
You know the Jedi?
Who knows?
They're going to end.
Well, maybe they will.
Did you know that?
Right.
Did you know the Star Wars franchise, the successful Star Wars franchise from Disney? They're going to keep making them. They're going to keep making those movies.
Never end.
Probably.
They're probably going to keep
making them.
Do you
think it'll just be a question of, like, it'll be the Jedi, and then like, they got to change it a little, so they'll just be, like, the Jed, and then they'll just be the, like, J, and then they're just the J? You think that could happen? Do you think maybe that'll be a Sonic Vapes? I don't know. That one worked, so... Back
just keep digging.
To that.
You want to go further, smaller than J? The Jedi.
I am the last
I think this is going to be a situation where, I guess this is my question, ends up being like, do they commit to the thing of like, all right, so I don't want to spoil the spoilers. Here we go. We're spoiling the trailer.
Trailer,
for the Last Jedi,
spoilers.
The teaser.
also spoiling the end of the film. Which we've seen.
Yeah. I mean, we wrote
we're
it.
On the media, we're
so,
on the inside. We've
we wrote
seen
the
this
movie.
All. All
right, big yeah. media. Yeah. Fake news, that's
Vice
us.
/Vox wrote this.
We,
this movie.
So in the trailer, it does include Luke saying something like, what's Luke say, Tim?
It's time for the Jedi to end.
It's time for the Jedi to end.
Yeah.
So part one, people are analyzing
that bit, though, and there are two voices that say it.
Ooh. Apparently there are two voices that say it. So one thing is, maybe that's not the full sentence. Maybe this is like one of those famous news media tricks.
Yeah. Tim and I had a very good discussion of this,
it's like
yes.
taken out of context, like in like a movie quote situation.
An asshole would say,
right.
The Jedi need to end.
That's what famous Luke Skywalker.
That's what he actually said.
The Jedi
said.
Need to end, comma, is what the Emperor who I killed would
right.
say.
That's what my dad would say. He was a dick.
My bad dad.
Like, that's it. I think that's the real reality here that we're facing.
But, like, for me, like, that has always been – the thing that it seems like it's gesturing towards is, like, oh, wow, right, balance. Balance to the Force does not, in the end, just mean the good guys win or something. It means something else more complicated than that. And
yeah, and I mean, I think if you dig into, like, the expanded universe –
yeah, I'm listening. I'm right there with you.
Yeah. There's always been a little bit more digging into like the oh maybe it's not just good and bad and maybe the Jedi actually do some really questionable things.
Yeah, someone reminded me on Twitter. I forget the person just sent this to me and I've already lost it because of people linking me to Sonic vaping, which is good. Thank you. Of this great quote from Kreia in Knights of the Old Republic 2, which again, it's a big touchstone for me. At what point does the power of the Force at what point does the power the Force exerts submerge any attempt at choice or free will? And it's less like the metaphysical, like, oh, is there free will thing for her? And much more the political, like, oh, the Jedi are fascists. Like, the Jedi get to come into your fucking house and say, oh, the Force with us, and therefore we're allowed to kill you because we are like self-appointed, like, you know, paladins, basically.
And that's why I think the Empire are actually the good guys.
Hold on. God damn it.
Thanks, Bill Crystal.
God damn it. I knew we had a special guest on, but I didn't know. Pulls off his mask.
Oh, no.
There's a lower third appears, which is Phil Kohler R.
Yeah. That's good.
God damn. So, yeah, I don't know. That movie could be good.
The last two were pretty awesome. I enjoyed both.
Oh, right.
One thing I'll point that has nothing to do with the actual plot is that I'm glad that teaser does not show anything nor tell you anything about the actual story. It's just sort of like a thematic setup. Like, I love watching trailers, not because I like movies spoiler for me, but the art of crafting a trailer is like fascinating to me. I'm subscribed to like multiple trailer YouTube channels because I just like watching trailers, and like this trend in the last 10 years where trailers subsequently give away everything that happens beat for beat in a movie is infuriating to me as someone that enjoys the art of trailers. And
Patrick, this is really heartening for me to hear, because like I'm a big trailer guy, and my wife thinks I'm crazy. Like, I'm always like, we need to get to the movie theater.
Gotta see those trailers
before the movie starts. We gotta see
all
the trailers.
I'm in a bad mood if I've missed the trailers, despite how excited I am for the movie. It's less so these days because now you can watch most trailers ahead of time. So it's mostly just seeing the thing. But I'm with you. Like, I am that person. I enjoy the excitement that a trailer can like wrap the themes of a movie around. And so for all of J.J. Abrams' problems as like a storyteller, like, his like institutionalized mystery adapted to the marketing of The Force Awakens meant that as long as you ignored the things they label international trailers, like, that's what you have to avoid these days, is like international trailers tend to spoil every beat of a movie. But you could watch most of the marketing for The Force Awakens, like the major trailers, and still not really know a whole lot of what was happening in that movie, and it just got you excited for the characters and themes they were going to play with.
Is there a reason why the international trailers for his stuff were not? Is it just like he doesn't touch it himself, or is there like
the marketing escapes you at that point. Like, there's only so many pieces you can. There's probably like a better like actual like. There's probably an explanation that's like the more you spoil, the more people tend to turn out. Like, there's probably actually a thinking behind that. But I don't know. I enjoy the fact that I don't know very much, except for, you know, a general idea of what maybe might happen.
There was that study going around a couple of years ago that was like, oh, actually, if you spoil yourself on something, you actually like it more. Like, that was one of those things that got passed around.
It makes sense. You're more familiar with something.
But then there was also, for me, like, that exists in – that was, like, kind of compelling for me from what I read. And there was also a story of someone who didn't see anything at all about The Force Awakens. He didn't go watch – he watched zero trailers. He knew none of the characters. He avoided all of the merchandising as best he could. He didn't know what a Rey was. He didn't know that the lightsaber had the fucking – the hilt on it that makes no sense but is funny and kind of cool. And so when he saw that movie, like, there was a news piece about him. He was just like, like, it's all new. Like, it's all a surprise.
And that person actually died. It was over.
That was it.
He had a heart attack.
Last words. Yeah. And that's why I spoil myself on everything. Yeah. That's why.
That's how you survive.
That's made me – that story made me a different type of person in that, like, I've always been the sort of person who's like, I don't mind spoilers. And I still don't mind them that much. But I now more and more try to give myself – certain experiences where I do my best to go in without having seen much. So Zelda was like that for me, which helped because I think a lot of the Nintendo marketing around that was really tightly packed into like the Great Plateau, where they weren't going to show you a lot of other stuff, where they were going to evoke but not explain what that game really was, and that helped. So
helped
more of that, please.
More of that. I've actually been using trailers. Last week, I used the Thor Ragnarok trailer to teach my film students about shots and editing, and it was really fun. And I'm going to keep doing that. I'm going to do that with this trailer too. Yeah.
Does anyone have favorite trailers of all time, Patrick? What's your?
Go watch the original teaser and main trailer for Alien.
Yes.
Oh my god.
That's exactly where we were.
I was going to say
good?
That.
High
too.
Fives.
Hell yes. Oh, it's so good.
I also like that one.
Have you seen
it? Like, that was good.
How have you not seen it?
It's a masterclass in exactly what I was talking about and what the Force Awakens trailers tried to do, which is just like establish a tone and a sense of like place and mystery and then walk away. And those trailers do it better than almost anything I've ever seen done.
I did that. I was just doing the really bad thing that people do sometimes where they ask a question because they have a thing they want to say. And then the best thing happened, which is Patrick said the thing I wanted
to
say.
The exact thing.
I don't have to say it now. Yeah, so see, that's good. Phil, what are you? Favorite trailer?
I don't actually like trailers that much. This is just a good movie.
Oh, okay. That's fair. Is there anything true and honest in your life?
Actually, no. Legitimately, no. No, I don't know. I would have to think about it. Nothing is like immediately springing to mind. But I will say, like, with this one, I agree with Patrick. I like that it was that for The Last Jedi, they chose to do something more thematic, that they don't spoil much of it. I did see some people on Twitter saying, like, oh, it's another Star Wars trailer where they don't actually tell you what the movie's about. But I feel like those are the same people who would complain about,
it's
a trailer that spoils every beat of the movie. Yeah. So it's like...
I like the part where Finn and Poe are making out. That was my favorite part.
That part was pretty good.
Yeah, it was really nice. It was like, wow, Star Wars went all the way gay.
Super gay.
They were talking about like, oh, they'd be a little gay maybe. Mm-hmm.
What surprised me was that they showed penetration in the trailer.
Wow, they really went
twice.
There.
Yeah, I mean.
That's
twice.
They used it as a jump scare.
only the first time. The second time was loving and happy. It swelled with the John Williams score.
That's what the B-Wing you were talking about.
I was describing a B-Wing.
But that's not really what it was. I understand.
It swelled with the John Williams score is a line in my new erotic novel. So
good.
I'm really happy.
Good.
Yeah.
Wow, video game.
Take that. Phil tweeted that there's not going to be any horny allowed on this podcast.
There's not. This is a... What's horny about this?
Two men getting it on.
What's horny about that?
Just my beautiful space boys.
I just want to point out the joke is already past us, but someone coined the term jump penetration, which
bad.
Is good. That's
no. Bad. Boo.
I just want to let you know that's the title of the podcast. Yeah. Someone found it.
Bad.
I'm so glad.
Aaron T. Larson notes that the Lost Odyssey trailer was really good back in the day. The one with, I'm guessing that they mean the one with White Rabbit by Jefferson Airplane.
Oh, yeah.
It's like super fucking good. Look up the Lost Odyssey trailer with White Rabbit in it.
I just want to read one comment because it's very good.
I'm glad.
We just got a peek into everyone's psyches. Danielle, gay makeouts. Phil, penetration. Patrick, jump scare.
Uh-huh.
Correct. That was correct. That was very good.
Yep. No, that all checks out.
It checks out.
You play any video games, Phil? How are the dinosaur cards?
The dinosaur cards?
Yeah, the new cards. You were like, oh, I'm playing a new Hearthstone thing. I was like, oh, that's the one with the gorillas in it. And then you were like,
I mean, there's usually a gorilla or two.
Okay.
How many of them are dinosaurs?
There's mostly dinosaurs in this one. New Hearthstone expansion came out last week. It's called Journey to Un'Goro, and the theme is very, like, dinosaurs, like, so is prehistoric.
It's like the Savage Lands from X-Men?
Yeah, it's basically that.
Like, orcs are there?
Well, there were no orcs, and then they came there, and now there are orcs there.
Do they ride dinosaurs?
Oh!
Yeah, you can ride dinosaurs.
Is Turok there?
Yeah.
What's his card do?
There's no Turok card. I lied to you.
God damn it.
You can ride dinosaurs.
Charge or something.
There's a card called a paladin spell called Spike Ridge Steed that is literally like the theme behind the card is you're putting your minion on a dinosaur, and when your minion dies, that dinosaur pops up in its place.
That's cool.
That's kind of cool.
That's nice. I can get with that.
Yeah.
How's Hearthstone doing generally these days?
Because
it feels like from the outside, as someone who played a lot of it in beta and then less and less of it as it went on, but then still like kept up. I still watch all of the Stoner's Nation. I do my best to stay abreast of the situation as it is. It felt like it got kind of gimmicky in the last couple of expansions.
Sure.
And for me, that tends to be a sign. As someone who's played a lot of card games, I'm like, oh, wow, gimmicks are fun. And then like, oh, but I don't actually play that set. Yeah. I get really excited about it. I'm like, oh, cool, gimmick. And then just like, I back out.
I don't think this set's going to pull you in because they definitely have a gimmick. The gimmick this time is they introduced something called quest cards.
Okay.
Which is a new type of legendary. Each class has their own specific quest. And if you have a quest card in your deck, it's a one-cost spell. It's always in your opening hand.
Okay.
You can mulligan it out if you want.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to because you probably built your deck around completing this quest. So you play it, and it'll be something like for the priest, for example, it's play 7 death rattle minions.
Okay.
And then you have to play 7 death rattle
minions.
Like
a passive boost?
And then, no, when you complete it, you get a card that's super powerful. So in the case of the priest spell, it's you get this card that is a 5-cost, like, 8-8 minion with taunt who sets your health to 40, which is 10 higher than your health normally can be.
Right. That's cool.
So,
the thing I don't like about that is that there's not a lot of interaction. around that quest specifically. So like there's nothing I can do at all to stop you from playing Death Rattle.
There's
minions.
Not a lot of interaction with any of them.
That's really frustrating.
All of them are like play this type of minion.
For people who don't play card games like this, one of the things that can be really attractive about card games is the same thing that's really interesting about fighting games, right? Which is like when you know a fighting game really well, you go, all right, I'm fighting Ryu, I understand like Hadouken, Dragon Punch, I need to like zone him this specific way. I need to like make sure to counter, like as someone who does real fighting, I'm sure it's similar. Like, okay, I know what this type of person, I know what this person's style is. Even if you're still doing the same sort of martial art, you know that person favors kicks.
Absolutely.
And so in card games, what I really love is getting into the head of the other player who's like, oh, they've built a deck that's built around this mechanic. Oh, they're building a deck that is based on in Netrunner viruses, which means that they're just constantly going to be putting virus tokens on my thing. I need to make sure I save enough money to clear those off or whatever. And based on what you just said, the thing that kind of bums me out is that in Hearthstone, there's nothing I can ever do to stop you from playing Death Rattle cards if you've built a good deck.
Like I said, it's the same with pretty much all of the quests. The counterplay basically becomes, boy, I better kill them before they finish that quest.
Be fast, right?
In particular, like there's two quests like that stand out. There's the Rogue quest. Their reward for it is every minion you play from now on is 5 health and 5 attack. So the way that it's turned out, rogues can complete that quest by like turn 4, and then suddenly they're just playing a lot of super cheap minions who are 5/5, and you can't win. So
can't wait for turn 5 rogue to hit.
Yeah, I better just kill them. And then the mage has one that is just take an extra turn, which is a really cool idea, but obviously super powerful in a card game.
Yeah.
It's. They're cool ideas. They're causing new deck types to be built that have never been built before, which makes it fun right now.
Sure.
That's how
it happens.
I feel like in a month, there's a good chance it'll be pretty stale. There's also one big problem. I wrote an op-ed on Polygon about that it this week, where the other huge issue is these quest cards are all legendary. So the different rarity of cards determines how likely you are to open them in a pack.
So if I'm rich, I'm going to get a quest card.
Yeah, well, and legendaries, I think what players have determined is you're guaranteed to get at least one legendary every, like, 30 or 40 packs, which is not great. That's a lot of money.
You could Arcane Dust them, right?
You can create them from Arcane Dust, but it takes a lot to create
a legendary card. Sure.
If you don't have the quest card, like in a lot of decks in the game, if you're missing a handful of cards, you can find replacements that are like, oh, this isn't the perfect version of this deck, but I can put something
close enough.
Yeah. If you don't have the quest card.
I don't have the dinosaur I can ride, but I got this rhino that I can ride.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
But if you don't have the quest card, you cannot do these decks. There's no replacement. The decks are built around completing this quest and then reaping the rewards of that quest. So you know, if it turns out that any of these quest cards are like in the long term meta,
super good,
if they're like this is the stuff that everybody's playing to win, and you don't have that quest, you just have to open packs until you get it or have enough dust to create it. Like, you can't just build a like cheaper version of
totally,
that, which is problematic. It's essentially like it makes the expansion more expensive than any previous expansion.
Right, that's a bummer. Especially because it sounds like so much is built around those things.
Yeah.
Patrick and Danielle, have either of you ever played a game that, like Hearthstone, has this sort of long tail where you're like sticking with it over the course of a year or two and watching it change? Or have you both kind of bounced from title to title?
Unless you count DLC for something.
There we like come back
not,
to it.
Like Witcher, basically. Otherwise.
Sure, sure. I guess that's not competitive either, so it's kind of hard to see the balance changes.
Maybe Overwatch a little bit, I guess.
Yeah.
Not
Overwatch.
Not exactly
if you
same.
Like were so deep into Overwatch, I could see that being. How about you, Patrick?
No, I enjoy the idea of bouncing from a game to a game. Like I value the ability to play a lot of different things. Also, it, you know, as we've talked about before, like it my job requires, like, in order to write as much as I do, like, I it's difficult to stick with things for a long period of time. Whereas, like, you know, Phil, like, part of it, you write about Hearthstone a lot, so like, that's integrated into your work, and so it's easier to sort of stick with Hearthstone because it fits into what you're doing day to day.
Yeah, it's also easy because, like, so I definitely, this is the longest I've ever stuck with any one game.
Yeah.
I mean, I've played World of Warcraft on and off for like 12 years, but like, I definitely not for this long of a stretch without taking a break.
You're a big Asheron's Call guy, so
Asheron's Call, that's
That's you also, right? And then you also love what else? Shadow Lords?
Shadow – oh.
Shadow Lords. Lords of Shadow.
Lords of –
you've been playing Castlevania Lords of Shadow for the last 12 years.
That's the last 12 years.
Yeah.
But no, what I'm saying is like
– Lords of the Ocarina. It's
also easier with Hearthstone because like I can open up Hearthstone on my lunch break,
right.
Play a game that takes 10 or 15 minutes and turn it off and I'm like – yes, I'll play Hearthstone every single day, but I might just play, like, one or two games.
Yeah, I fucked up and played a MOBA last night.
Oh, yeah?
There's a MOBA called – well, it's a MOBA / RTS called Drop Zone.
Drop Zone.
Which, one, my dad used to own an Army-Navy store called Drop Zone Army-Navy, so
nice.
It's already, like
– you already
two,
love it.
I already
family
love it.
Thing.
Two, yeah. Drop Zone is a it has mech. It's a mech.
Oh, God.
It's a mech MOBA.
It was made for you.
/ RTS.
Your dad
slash
made
RTS.
It for you.
He made it for me.
Yeah.
I like that you keep trying to, like, well, it's not just a MOBA. Don't worry. I'm not becoming
a
MOBA.
I'm actually way more interested in it as a MOBA than what they're trying to sell it as. Their whole thing is like, oh, it's you get to play as one character or three, and I can control three mechs. Like, no, just give me one mech. I don't know how to do three
just
things
want a good
at
mech.
Once. The thing that actually attracted me to it, besides the mechs, which did, I admit, attract me, is matches are 15 minutes long.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I got 15 minutes. Shit. I'll play a 15-minute game for 7 times in a row. I just won't play one for 45. That's how
That's
my
not really
brain...
15 minutes anymore. That's not how time works.
Shut
often.
Up, Patrick. Logic has no place here. The brains are bad.
Brains are bad.
No, you're totally right. Like, that's the thing that's frustrating is, like, I can see that in myself. I can see that, like, oh, I could never put in the time to learn Dota. It has mechs, and each game is only 15 minutes.
But part of it also is a thing where, like, if you're putting 45 minutes or an hour into one
right.
game and you lose,
it sucks.
It feels a lot worse than if you put 15 minutes in and lose and know that you can load up again and it's going to
yeah.
take 15 minutes
totally.
And you might win.
Totally.
Like, after 45 minutes and you lose, you don't want to, like, start up another game because you're just, like, crushed.
Right. Well, so I've also been playing – I actually played a few hours of – number one Steam game right now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
Battlegrounds.
All caps.
Yeah.
But also PlayerUnknown is intercapped also.
Yes. Both are true.
PlayerUnknown was a modder. He modded games before,
yep.
I
yep.
guess.
Yep.
I don't know what. I didn't do my due diligence of looking that up. I assume Arma?
Probably.
That's
I don't know.
People...
That's an Arma. But...
Just keep going, Austin. It can't go wrong.
So the setup, people have heard this game. A lot of people have played this game. Obviously, it's number one on Steam. But also, a lot of people I say this in game's name to, and they go, what the fuck are you talking about? And I don't know if it's because they don't know about the game or because even though they themselves are playing the game, they don't know what the name is because it's such a bad name.
It's fair.
The idea is you and 99 other players get into a plane. You fly over a island that has
vaguely
lots of,
Eastern European.
Vaguely Eastern European.
Yes.
It might actually be Eastern European. I know that there are some folks from South Korea working on this game too. I don't know enough about the dev history to talk about that stuff. And then at some point you jump out of the plane and then Battle Royale happens or Hunger Games
happens.
It's
basically
happens.
Hunger Games, yeah.
You know, there are only 500,000 references to Battle Royale in quotes on the internet. That seemed low to me.
That's low.
Anyway, I had to look this up because we were writing about – because Cameron Kunzelman did a really
yeah.
great column about Player Unknown's Battlegrounds. And we were
yeah.
trying to figure out if Hunger Games or Battle Royale was like a more appropriate reference.
Do we have to say the full name every time?
Player Underground Battle Unknown.
Player Battle Assassin's Creed.
Well, there's probably a game called Battlegrounds, right? So
there must
that's,
have been.
That's,
there must
or
be.
A trademark somewhere. Battlegrounds is a game.
So
yeah.
What sounds cool about this game to me, and I definitely want to hear what you think of it. But what I've heard, and I've been meaning to check it out, it seems like a lot of people have been trying to do this sort of Hunger Games type of, you know, Battle Royale mm-hmm. type of game, but that a lot of them have been plagued by, like, kind of rough servers and
yes.
stuff. It sounds like the server thing for this is, like, pretty...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
pretty solid, and you can just hop in and hop out really easily.
I will say it's not – the game itself might not be super optimized. I had a really good time with it last night, but a friend of mine who has, like, an okay laptop could not – like, was able to load into a game eventually – and then none of the geometry loaded in, so it was just, like, super low poly. And then, like, the frames of the houses, but no interior. He couldn't see the interiors of the houses. And so I went into
in
the house.
In some ways, that's, like, a benefit.
Well,
it's really, like,
it really helped teamwork.
There's no bullshit.
It is wall hacks. I went into that building. He's like, I can see where you are. I just can't see how to get to you because the interior geometry is there. He just can't see it. So I'd be like, all right, walk forward, turn right. All right, there's a couch to your left, but turn right a little bit more. Walk forward, turn left, look down, hit F.
Why weren't you recording?
And then he's like,
this sounds great.
He's like, oh, a gun. I have a gun now. I know. I guided you to that gun. And then he got stuck in a bed and couldn't get out. It was very...
Sounds like my life.
It was rough. So hopefully that it's in early access. It'll continue to get worked on. But there is this, like, intense sense of tension.
Quiet and disquiet.
But it's also really low stakes because you die, you get out, you get back into a game, and you always start with nothing. So, like, it's not like DayZ where 8 hours of progress is going to be lost.
Yeah.
You parachute into a place, you run into a building, you get a revolver and some pants or whatever, and now you're the guy with the revolver and pants. And, like, hey, maybe you make it for another 30 minutes and you're one of the last 20 people and that feels good. Or maybe you get shot 2 seconds later and you go, fuck, all right, I'm going to load back in. And, like, that – I have to work out what I feel about that still. Yeah. But the kind of surface-level feeling is I want to play another match.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say two things. One, like, when I've researched a lot of these games, which are incredibly popular on, like, Steam, Twitch, and YouTube, and yet get written about, like, nowhere in sort of, like, the sort of, I don't know, what conventional, traditional press that, like, we all operate in. Like, you see very little written about, you know, H1Z1 King of the Hill, which is also, like, has been incredibly popular on places like Twitch. When I've researched those games, like, they largely seem to be bad. The core premise, the concept, is incredibly fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see these games get incredibly popular despite the fact that they're not necessarily very good, but they're building on an idea that is really interesting.
Yes.
And what I also find interesting about these types of games, even though I haven't really dug into them myself, is that DayZ is a game that I enjoy hearing stories about and I'm fascinated by as a concept, but I don't have the time nor the patience to invest in them to have those moments, so instead I end up just reading about them. But what's interesting about these arena-style games that condense it to a smaller period of time is that it seems like you're able to have some of those really tense, interesting moments in player versus player confrontations in a time span that is condensed so that someone like myself could actually experience that in a way that doesn't force me to invest in this in the way sort of like a DayZ type game does.
Yeah, like to just talk about one experience of this game being really good was so again, the plane is flying over an island. It kind of picks a random vector to go across this island. So each time there's like a slight variation where you're going to end up starting. You then decide where to jump out of the plane and parachute down. And in one, I jumped down into a kind of like suburban or kind of like, I guess it was vaguely urban because it was like a bunch of apartment buildings, one next to another.
Yeah.
Probably like 20 of them, right? And so I landed on the roof of one of them. I could see other people landing on the roofs of the other apartment buildings. And I went inside and I got a few things. And I just kind of hung out there for 10 minutes, like, because I knew that there were enough people around me that they were going to fight it out. And you can just see, like, the number goes from 100 people to, like, 95, 94, 93, 92. And so I go through this apartment building. I get, like, a pretty good rifle and, like, some good armor. Like, I'm pretty kitted out. And I just, like, walk out the door and turn left. And there's a guy at the end of an alleyway who's, like, up against a wall because he's, like, trying to snipe another player.
Oh,
and I'm like, I'm not going to not shoot this guy, right? Like, he's right there. So I shoot him. And he's like, ugh! And he, like, runs away around the corner. And at that point, I'm like, oh. Then I should have shot. Like, oh, there's gunfire now. And there's, like, all sorts of gunfire happening suddenly. And so I, like, run down a different alley and then find my way to, like, a riverbank. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to get behind this wall. There's a wall. There's a riverbank. There are people back here shooting behind me, like, back into the left. Back and to the left, and ahead of me, the river, like, turns, and there's – in the far distance, I see another guy running, but there's, like, no way I can shoot him. So I just chase after him while people are shooting behind me, and eventually I run up to that guy, and I'm like, huh, and I shoot at him, and he, like – he gets shot once or twice and then, like, does the smart thing, which is, like, goes down towards the river. And, like, there's this moment of, like, okay, is he in the water? Is he laying down on the riverbed, like, waiting to shoot me in the head? Where should I come at him from? It was really tense. And then there was a sound of a boat, and a boat started coming down the river. And I saw him get up at the sound of the boat. And when he popped up, I shot him.
Oh,
and then
God.
The boat ran past me, and I shot at the boat guy like 3 or 4 times and missed and missed and missed. And he was like 50 yards away. And I switched to the other gun that I had, and I was like, all right, one more shot. Bop! And then, like, dead, you get the headshot or whatever. And then, like, that shot, that shooting a guy on a boat 50 yards away is, like, the only – if I could never shoot a gun in the game again, I'd be happy. Because it's just not going to feel better than that one headshot. Because then I got a boat, guys. I got a boat. Because the thing that happens in this game all the time is that the world is constricting inwards. There's, like, a weird electrical wall that's slowly, like, dragging every player together.
It,
like, herds you closer and closer together.
Oh, that's really smart.
That's
it's
really
so
cool.
smart, Patrick. Because it means that at the top of the game, there's lots of activity because everyone's dived near the urban areas to get lots of equipment. And then it gets kind of quiet, and then the push happens, and everyone starts getting closer and closer to the middle. And then it's like, okay, 30 people left, and they're all in this one, like, farm compound.
That's so good.
You should play this game. You should put a little time into this game because I think you would like it a lot.
Hey, did you immediately die the moment you got the boat?
No. So I rode the boat inland and climbed up into, like, I, like, kind of tried to triangulate where I thought the center of the map would be.
Mm-hmm.
So the same map every time, but the circle that begins to constrict is at a different point. So a different part of the map could be the final, like, fight area. The final fight. It's a sequel to Final Fight.
Right, right.
You can play as Cody, which is – that's my favorite.
Oh, that's good.
And I found a car. There was like a moment – at this point, my friend had been killed, stuck in the bed, and he just was spectating me. And he was like, Austin, there's a car over there. I'm like, what are you talking about? And I looked down a hill, and there was a little dune buggy, and it had like a full tank of gas. So I was like, I'm just going to ride into the sunset. And I did, and then I got down to like 20 people or 10 people. It was a duo game, so it was – 10 people, 10 out of 50, which means like it could have been 20 people, 10 to 20 people. And I ended up getting shot in the head from a guy who was just ready for me and I was not. It was a really tense moment when I had a big machine gun and I could hear someone come into the apartment that I was in. I was in like a 2-floor like home and could hear the guy downstairs opening and closing doors. And I just like laid on the ground on the second floor and pointed the gun at the stairwell. Like he wouldn't have seen me if he'd come up the stairwell. I was like around the corner. And he just, like, never came upstairs. And I heard him start his car and drive away.
Oh, my God.
Like, those moments are so fucking good.
Oh, my God.
And, like, I'm shocked that I'm this effusive about this because I went into it, like, Player Unknown's Battlegrounds.
Yeah.
What a survival game.
Yeah, no, I had the same reaction when I saw people start freaking out about it, starting to gain traction on Twitch. I had the same reaction kind of as Patrick, too, of like, oh,
I've seen these
type of games, and, you know, they seem kind of garbagey. I get why they're popular on Twitch, but it seems like, you know, from what I've been hearing, there might be a little bit more to this one. Maybe it'll stick around a little longer.
I hope it gets more support. Like, there are certain things that I really wish it had, like, more things in the world. Like, there are cars.
More boats.
There are guns. There are boats. There are pants and shirts.
Pant? Are there pant boats?
There are no pant boats.
What else do you need?
Like, what if I could get, I don't know, like, special abilities? Or what if I could get, like...
What if you could be, like, a werewolf?
What if you could teleport on every 10th snap?
Snap, yeah. So I figured out, we figured out something earlier, which is the most interesting superpower to have. All right, how do we start this?
Well, we had a whole discussion. We went in deep about whether or not we would want actual superpowers.
Right. We're not going to get into that.
It was like hours long.
A heavy conversation.
It was very heavy.
Okay.
You know how I am.
Yeah, I know.
You've met me.
It's intense.
But then today we were talking about Darkly, that CPR only works 10% of the time.
Yeah.
And I was saying,
it's like 11%.
That's both a lot and nothing.
It's more like a long-term survival rate. It's like, it's not just that it works 10% of the time. It's like, oh, this person will actually be viable and survive this incident 10% of the time. Ish.
And what I said was like, oh, there are times when that's terrible. Like, I wouldn't want a car that only works 10% of the time. But I wouldn't mind being able to teleport every 10th time I snap my fingers. Like, 1 out of 10 times that I wanted to do it, yeah, I'll snap my fingers up to 20, 30 times if it's a really low probability that time for me to teleport. And then we realized that would be a dope superhero movie.
It would be amazing.
Because it would just be like, somebody like, all right, I gotta go. And, like, it's not happening. And then, like, last snap. Or a horror movie, Patrick.
Yes.
Where, like, as long as you hear the snaps, that means he's coming for you, but he's not there yet. And then you don't hear it anymore, and you're fucked.
Dead.
And then Tim Barnes shouted out the great name, which was Oh Snap.
Yeah. That's good.
What a great power.
It's definitely like the early 2000s comic book title for it. Mark Millar is the one who did it.
Yeah. Oh, so. Yeah.
Real good.
That checks out.
Anyway, that's what I've been playing.
Yeah.
What have you been up to, Daniel?
I played softball.
You did play softball.
That was exciting.
Did we not already drag Gizmodo on this?
Shut out, baby. 14-0. The Gizmodo Media Group softball team. I just want to say, I had not played softball in 21 years. 21 years, I had not picked up a bat.
Does it hold up? Have they patched it much?
Have the rules changed it much? I ran to the field.
Are there dinosaurs in this one?
There's definitely dinosaurs. Well, if you're talking about the game we played, there was a... maybe they hadn't played in longer than 21 years.
Are you saying they're old? What is this?
21 millennia. I don't know. It's just they were bad at softball.
Are you insulting the ages of the people?
All I want to say is that I had not picked up a bat in 21 years.
True.
But on my very first pitch, my friends, I got a good base hit. I got an RBI. There were no strikes that crossed my plate that I did not make contact with the ball. I want you to know that.
It's on the record now.
It's on the record.
Why does Vox not have a softball team
Good
in
question.
This league? We're playing BuzzFeed on Monday. Esquire, New York Magazine, they're all on the list. We're coming for you.
I can't speak to any official policy for Vox Media. Mike, if I had to guess, it would be because you just listed off a whole bunch of losers. And we would only want to play softball with winners.
Well, it's us.
I don't know about us. 14-0, dude. We're kind of winners.
It's fine, I guess.
Shut basically out. 14 wins in a row, as far as
kinda.
I'm concerned.
Kind of.
It's fine, I guess.
What I love about this is that this time last week, Danielle was like, I don't want to.
I was very nervous.
I don't want to do softball. I hate softball. I haven't played softball in
20
years.
I hate it.
I'm going to be terrible at softball. I'm just going to be so bad at softball, and everyone's going to make fun of me. And we were like, Danielle, you're an incredible athlete. You're confident. You're powerful. Get out there, kick some ass.
And then I literally laced up my shoes and ran there with equipment on
Right, ran there from our office.
About 2.5 miles.
And then hit an RBI.
I did.
Danielle's coming for you,
the damn
rest
truth.
Of media companies.
So Vox Media, maybe make a softball team. Maybe we're winners.
Don't do it. No. No sass.
So, yeah, that's
what I played.
That's
also,
a good
technically,
game.
I think the teleportation is cheating during softball.
They didn't patch that. They didn't change it. It's an exploit.
Yeah,
it's not cheating.
That's a glitch. So, I don't know.
They can change it in tournaments where they haven't changed it in the base rules. So
I got into a big argument with a colleague about this with Hearthstone, actually, exploits.
Okay.
There is an exploit in the current expansion where if you're playing as a priest, you can basically do a move that causes the other player's turn to skip.
Uh-huh.
That's real mean.
It's real busted. Like, it's a huge thing.
I just need you to know that for a moment you said while you're playing as a priest, and I'd forgotten somehow that priest was a class in Hearthstone and thought that real-life priests had
they could do that.
I don't know how they knew, but they knew it. They knew
priests
the exploit.
Priests are allowed to play video games, too.
They had the exploit that we didn't have access to as non-priests.
Well,
God,
I mean, you have to send up a little prayer,
okay.
And then... but no, you can cause your player's turn to skip. Anyways, there was a streamer, popular Hearthstone streamer, who kind of discovered this on stream and then showed it off and put out a video. And my colleague was like, "It's bad of him to put out this video." But I'm like, "No, it's in the game. It's not. He's not like downloading a hack.
Right.
It's not like
he
it's
didn't
not
hack
cheating.
It.
Yeah. Like this is something that's in the game. He has no obligation to not show this off or to not use it even.
Chief hacking reporter.
Is he using it regularly or he just used it to show off that it
He
works?
Showed it off and he conceded once he discovered it and figured out what it did, he actually conceded all of the games where he was showing it off. But he just showed that you can make it work regularly.
He's in the best position to get Blizzard to fix that as quickly as possible.
Exactly.
By distributing it and making it a problem is how you get that fixed, not by like sending a support ticket.
Thanks, WikiLeaks.
I guess this person's point was he should have gone to Blizzard directly rather than
Blizzard put that in. I mean, I can't speak for Blizzard. There are companies who would get that note and be like, yeah. Put that in a file
Whatevs.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Not companies. There are people at companies who would be like, oh yeah, it's just not a priority. We have other stuff going on.
Anyways, I'm legend ranked now.
I'm
What's
glad.
That mean? Was that
yeah.
Player Unknown's legend rank?
That's the top. That's the top.
Is that the top of the top?
It's the top of the top.
Was it what's higher than legendary? Nothing.
Nothing. I got there by using this cheat.
I see the joke you were doing.
Yeah.
That went over my head.
Yeah, it
really
was
did.
Very
dumped
happy
it down
about
from
that.
My head
to really.
It's very good. I thought like you were excited to share.
No.
What rank are you actually?
15.
That's nowhere near legendary.
It's not legendary.
15.
Because legend is under one, right?
It's under one. It
counts down.
Yeah, it goes down. I got a ways to go.
Great. I think it might be time to go into the question bucket, deep down into the question bucket. We got a bucket of questions, Phil. It's a digital bucket.
I don't see any sort of...
Give me a number from 1 to 120 or something like that.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Let's go with 34.
Okay, everyone goes low.
Yeah.
No, you said 34. We'll see. I mean, what if this... I don't know what's in this question bucket. 34 could just be like... Hey, I hope you never see that Phil guy.
That's what it is.
Comes in from Nick. Nick says, a lot of games are described as cinematic experiences, and plenty of others are grounded in strong writing. But I'm wondering about less conventional sources of inspiration. Has there been a game that strongly emulates or is inspired by Chuck Jones, the animator, and Sixth Landing? Or, like, in general, are there other games that do – that reach outside
of – I think we answered this question.
We did answer this question at some point.
Yeah.
I've never heard this question
this
before.
This might be my
no,
fault.
We definitely okay. – I distinctly remember because of the Chuck Jones reference.
Yep.
Fair. Well, I'm going to read this in a different one from Ewan in Edinburgh, who's the new 34.
New 34.
Just get that tattooed on your arm, Ewan. Call yourself the new 34. I've been making content – you're welcome, Patrick – for YouTube for a few years now, but have always felt a sense of hypocrisy in putting out videos there in the hope that people will watch while not actually watching that much of it myself. I don't,
of his own or of
no,
others,
of other, some other people's yeah. stuff. I don't watch a lot of streams, mainly because the type of games I prefer to play don't really lend themselves to that kind of staging. Games with already some editorializing here. Games with strong narrative component I would much prefer to experience for myself rather than simply watch somebody else move through it. While I have full appreciation and more than a little envy of the confidence and personality required to be good at streaming, I simply don't connect with how the streamers I've seen present themselves and show off games. I do, however, watch a lot of the videos output by the bigger sites, Giant Bomb, Polygon, etc. Not us, apparently. I guess we weren't doing any videos when this was happening, probably. Again, mainly
Polygon's a great site, though.
I've heard.
It's pretty good.
Again, mainly because, again, I prefer the way they are presented. Mm-hmm. The format we use for our videos is closer to something like a Giant Bomb Quick Look rather than a Let's Play or a Hey, Let's Play Games and Answer Chat Questions. And so I've always assumed that the skill sets are a little different. Even so, I feel that an author who doesn't read a lot of books or a director who's only into a very small slice of film would probably limit their knowledge and miss out on some important aspects of their craft. Is there something to be learned from YouTubers, Twitch streamers, etc. that would be worth studying and learning from? Are either of you big stream watchers? This came in when Patrick and I were the only people on this podcast.
Okay, so it really was before we had videos. So.
Yeah, totally. Are either of you big stream watchers? Has watching them helped you with the videos or streaming that you have been part of? Thanks, and looking forward to the site launch. Ewan from Edinburgh, aww. Scotland. Thank
I think
you
need to watch other things. I think that's very helpful. But I think in this case, what's most popular is not necessarily what's best. I think there's a lot of folks who do amazing things who are not necessarily the biggest YouTubers. I think the stuff that like Campster does is amazing. Sure. Just seriously incredible. Cool Ghosts. I love their videos. I mean, these are like somewhat popular, but they're not like necessarily like a PewDiePie or a Jacksepticeye or whatever his name is. I probably said that wrong.
Right.
Did I say it right?
You did.
Okay, that was him. Okay.
He's Irish.
I would suggest finding something that actually speaks to you and that you enjoy and that you do want to sort of be inspired by. It's the same thing where like, oh, maybe you really love horror films, but you're not going to be inspired by romantic comedies. Well, you can still look around outside of your genre or outside of what you're doing and gain inspiration from it, but what everybody else is doing isn't necessarily the thing you need to do.
Patrick, as the our favorite YouTuber,
yes, I'm with this person. I don't like watching streamers or YouTube videos, generally speaking. Like even though I've made stuff, partially it's because I like long form video content is something that just bugs me. Both like because I don't have time, and also the editor in me thinks, bro,
right
or lady, like you don't need 45 minutes to do what you just did. If we're talking about stuff that isn't like a Let's Play that you are working your way through,
right,
a game. So yeah, I don't know. I don't watch anyone on Twitch. There's like some YouTube channels that I follow. A lot of that is as many things I've said on this podcast is just due to time. Like I just don't like. There's not a world where like watching a long YouTube videos fits into my life. But I think he's making a mistake if you want to make your own mark, that to not see what at least not to, even if you don't particularly like the personalities associated with like popular accounts, there's something that they're doing that is separate from their personality. There's like a style, there's a cadence to like the editing, the recording, the way they go about things. Because also, as I've discovered through this one YouTube video that I have that last I looked now has 4.5 million views. The algorithm does a lot of the heavy lifting for a lot of these personalities. That's to take nothing away from the work that a lot of these bigger folks do, but like the Google algorithm like took one of my videos and now made it 4.5 million views, not because it's anything special I did, but because it was just picked by the Lord of the algorithm and then just shoved in
the
front
Lord
of
people. The Lord of the algorithms. That's a weird thing. Like, Phil, you and I used to be a part of a big YouTube stream thing that we've not big.
Well, I mean,
it was big because there were 30 of us involved.
It was big in terms of number of people making the streams, maybe not watching.
Right. What I love is the top two videos on that channel still on StreamFriends, StreamFriends.tv, are Janine doing the Sims 4 create a sim demo, which is like, oh, she just got on it immediately and made high quality content and everyone was funny.
Yeah.
Janine's great. And then the number two is Let's Play Wolf Quest Part 1, Stream Wolves Assemble. Because it turns out Wolf Quest is the sort of game people go to YouTube and type in, like, is there a Let's Play of Wolf Quest out there? And, like, yeah, dog, it's us.
It's us.
You did it.
I think I played a wolf named Fernando, I'm pretty sure.
Good. Wolf named Fernando.
It was pretty good. And, like, that's the sort of, like, that's the sort of thing that can be tough if you're trying to get into the YouTube space. Is, like, find that niche.
Yeah.
Find out if anybody's done a Wolf Quest stream.
I mean,
they probably haven't done one with Allie, me, Jack, and Janine. So
it
was, I guess like I would say it really depends on what your goals are. Like if your goal is I want to take this YouTube thing and make it my full time job, and I want it to be super popular, and I want to make money off of it. Then yeah, you should probably be watching other people. Not to say like you need to do what they're doing, but like there might be stuff you can learn. Like maybe there's things you could do better that you can pick up on.
Totally.
And also just to determine, as Austin is saying here, what is a niche that isn't being served? What is like
you're gonna
that,
be
like, oh, I know that this is covered. Maybe there's something I can do different, something I can do better.
There are lots of people currently streaming PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. Like, are you going to be able to separate yourself there? Is there going to be an audience that's going to come to you for that thing?
Yeah.
And then the other thing is just like think about it structurally. I think that's a thing we don't think about media a lot because our training on media is so limited, you know, through the high school level, and then we switch to whatever our majors are in college. But like, what is Jacksepticeye doing structurally that is working successfully? And that might be something you don't like. We had this conversation a lot during the Stream Friends era of like, all right, what are the big streamers doing that is not on brand for us? It's not like our ethos. But what are they doing that maybe if we change the words around would still be a practice that's a best practice
for us, absolutely.
In terms of scheduling streams and promoting them and like making sure we introduce and you know, shout out our YouTube channel at the end and stuff like that. Ask people to like, comment, subscribe, all the good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I will also throw out I maybe am the only person here who watches a lot of YouTube stuff.
I watch quite a bit.
Okay, I watch a ton of YouTube and Twitch stuff, and I do think you know, for people in the media, I feel like I wish people in the media were more open to it. Like in the traditional games press, we're more open to watching that stuff. I feel like I learn a ton, both in terms of just like why this stuff is popular and you know what games are popular on Twitch and that kind of stuff, just from randomly watching streams, subscribing to certain YouTube channels and watching them and paying attention.
I definitely have like subsets of people who like, oh yeah, I watch people who play strategy games because I'm not going to wrap my head around it without watching somebody. And like that's a perfect example of how if you're like in your head, like I don't want to watch YouTubers, find somebody you want to learn about, a game that maybe you don't have the time to put it into. Find someone who's done that, even if that's Dark Souls lore, even if that's, you know, how to play Dota or something. Like find someone who's done a good guide. Also, if someone's out there, they should make – I guess it's too late now because Destiny 2 is coming out soon. But I tried to get back into Destiny recently with a new friend. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to link – I'll find a YouTube video that's like a really simple, easy-to-understand breakdown of what the three classes are. No. Like that doesn't exist. Someone should make that.
Somebody
should, totally make that. The other thing is there are actually a lot of people who are very smart and mature and not just kind of doing the screamy stuff. Like they're amazing. They're not quite as popular, but like there is a lot of really, really, really good stuff out there that's worth digging a little bit for. That's just my shout out for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's like this this common idea that floats around, right? That especially right now with all of the weird like PewDiePie stuff and YouTube stuff going mm-hmm. on. Where this common idea that like the traditional games press is scared of YouTube, right? And I don't think that's necessarily the case, but yeah. I do think there is some truth resistance. In that, which is it's more that the traditional games press just doesn't get it.
Yeah.
And I do think like people on the press could be doing more to like I don't know.
I think it can be a tough thing if you're in the games press, because when you have free time, it's often the case that like I've been doing game stuff all day. Like, it's all I do all day, and I love it. I love it to death. Like, I just want to watch anime right now.
That's true.
God damn it.
That's what Patrick says every day.
Or the other thing is, like, yeah. I just want to play a video game.
Let's put anime on.
We could put us on some anime. I'm going to type into the internet here. Can I stream anime? Can I stream an anime on Twitch?
Can I stream one anime?
Did we ever get in trouble for streaming an anime on Twitch?
I don't think they can do anything about it.
This is a really good Twitch Reddit post. Can I watching and then in brackets Japanese anime with my viewers?
Probably. Did you make the anime?
Will DMCA issue or copyright strike problems arrive when I stream about free anime?
If you made it yourself.
Oh, good
point.
If
you own the copyright.
We need to get in the anime making business so we can get in the anime watching business.
We can make an anime, then we can stream it with all our friends.
I think Patrick's in. If I can tell, I think I'm reading the face.
Oh, it's Patrick's anime face.
He looks really into it.
That's it. You know, the people listening, I was going to read it all, but Patrick just made a face as if it were. He looked like a really old, like tree man who was very
old
upset.
Tree man,
like
yeah.
You could see the ridges of bark on his face.
He looked like my Twitter profile pic.
Speaking
Twitter.com/pcoler.
You find
really
me
good.
At twitter.com/AustinWalker. Danielle, where can people find you?
Danielle RI, and also killing all y'all media companies softball teams.
God damn, Patrick Klepek.
You can find me at Patrick Klepek.
You can find everything that we do at twitter.com/waypoint, waypoint.zone, waypoint.vice.com, facebook.com/waypointvice, youtube.com/waypointvice, bazinga.zone, new.donk.city. You can listen to the song Miss You by Bowen off of his EP Pale Machine at waypoint.zone/BOEN. Thank you to Bowen for letting us use that track for our intro and outro song. You can find out more about what we do at culturalmarxism.club. That's that's a thing someone bought us this week.
Love it. Can I say my thing?
Yeah, what's your thing?
Be good or be good at it.
There it is. Be good or be good at it. Peace.
Bye, Phil. Bye, Phil. Bye, Phil. Bye, Phil.